Curious. You would make an excellent cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Join the community at Cephalon Squared on Twitter and Facebook, or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. Now, sit back and enjoy the show. Here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day and welcome to episode 15 of Cephalon Squared. I am your host, Cephalon Greg. I'm joined this time by Cephalon Lucas yet again. How you doing?
So good. It is so good to be out of that hospital.
Yes, you have undergone your defragmentation and more.
Temporarily having a bit of a reprieve from said defrag.
Yeah. So you've been gone for a few days, and we had to find an emergency ring in the form of Cephalon Lars for the mini. Thanks, Lars.
Yes. Thank you so much, Lars, for stepping in. I really appreciate it, and you did such an excellent job. So thank you so much.
He did good. So you're back now. I'm back. For good.
Well, maybe. As I said, temporary reprieve. After this recording, I've literally got to go straight back in to continue my defrag. So much fun.
All for the love of Cephalon Squared, people.
Yes,
so at least they've let him free. They've let him off the leash.
This is the only reason why they've let me out. I begged them to let me out. And I said, the people need me.
They can't be satiated. One Cephalon Lars is just not enough. Well, maybe we could have two Cephalon Larses. Anyway, it's good to have you back. So we'll kick right into it. There isn't terribly much that's gone on this week. Realistically, we're all waiting for Fortuna to come out, so it's not a big one. Plus, you've had some downtime, so we'll make it nice and easy on you. But of course, there are some good stuff. There is some good stuff. So, you know, the notes I put here: all's quiet on the Warframe front. Because the team is looking to finalise Fortuna, and we just want them to. But it turns out there was a fair bit that happened during the week. On Reddit, there was a Reddit post that pointed out that the recent red text update on PC mentioned that it was hoped to be the final hotfix prior to the release of Fortuna. So, all going well, it could still be hitting this week, towards the end of the week. It's hard to say. Yeah, it's hard to say because most of the community team, including Steve, have been out of, you know, the state or out of the country, really, because they're in Canada, and they all went to different countries to do different things, which we'll get to. So hopefully everything's still on track. We will see.
Fingers crossed.
I mean, a good indicator that things are still on track is there was an ARG, so an augmented reality game that started this week on Discord and Twitter. So it started out on Twitter with the Warframe account tweeting Warframe partners some cryptic stuff, and the Warframe partners were replying just as cryptically. And eventually it led into an invitation to a Discord with the business. So one of the characters that you meet on, that we will meet in Fortuna, and it turns out, is one of the leaders of the resistance in Solaris United. So it goes into a bit of why they're fighting and all that kind of stuff. Did you look into it while you were laid out drinking margaritas? Because I think that's what happens in hospital.
That's totally what happens in hospital. I did get a little bit of a glimpse at it. Honestly, I've been too drugged up to really take a lot of notes as to what's been going on. But, you know, now that I've got a bit of a clear head, I think tonight, before they dose me up again for more defrag, I'll probably get a good chance to skim through and catch up on the latest tellings of Fortuna.
Yeah. So basically, it just goes into the fact that, you know, the Corpus Overlords there on Venus are, or Nefanyo himself, really, has all of the Corpus underlings under his thumb, really, and if they don't pay him back, because it is a debt internment facility, and if they don't pay him back on time, he comes and repossesses their limbs, which is fantastic. Not very nice. So that sort of led to a lot of the resistance in Solaris United sort of weakening a little, because people are becoming more and more afraid of losing their limbs, which is a valid fear, I think. I quite like my limbs. I've grown accustomed to them.
I'm quite attached to them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm attached to them. We are hilarious. So, yeah, it's...
We like to think we are.
Well, my mom says I'm cool. So, yeah, that's what they're fighting. And that's what they're fighting for. And that's what they want us to come back in and try and sort of pump everyone back up again and get them all pumped for the Tenno, who are going to destroy the bad guys, the naughty, naughty bad guys. So there have been a few things that have been given away as a part of this, if you're a PC player. So if you did put Solaris United or one word into the promo codes page on Warframe.com, not only do you get a sigil, but I believe you also get access to the caches that have been given away to the to players. I don't know whether they've just given them away to all players, but maybe only the people who have put in that code. I'm unsure. Still, it's pretty cool that they've done this as a lead-in to Fortuna. So look forward to it, Lucas. Although no, it was a little bit...
I'm looking forward to it. And I'm actually starting to think now, maybe is it going to be like the more damage you do to Nathanio's corporation, the more body parts you get back and you start building like Frankenstein Solarans?
I think you're probably looking into it a little bit too much. Or maybe they've, you know, they pumped you a little bit too full of drugs before you left. But that's all right. We like drug liquors. yeah, maybe we get to make our
own
rules.
Don't do drugs, kids. Stay in school.
Except if you're in Canada, because apparently it's okay to smoke the weed. But anyway, we got sidetracked. Yes, as I mentioned earlier, the team is over. So half the team's gone to TwitchCon in California, and the other half went to Tenno VIP in Paris. That is all over, and I believe they're all on their way back. Steve did tweet something that he was looking at to try and bug check for Fortuna, so he's obviously back at work downloading more bloody updated versions of the code, which is good. He shouldn't stop for the players.
I don't think he ever stops. I think every time we watch a dev stream, he's kind of sitting there on his phone going, oh yeah, that needs to be changed. No.
Yeah. The guy needs to learn how to chill out and have a rest every once in a while. But, you know,
he does it for the players.
Give up, do they? Players. Exactly.
We appreciate you, Steve, for your work. Thank you so much.
Yes, exactly. And everyone in the team.
Yes,
So the Chimera update has gone to cert on both console platforms. So that was announced this morning, Australian time. Exciting. So while everyone on PC will be getting Fortuna later this week, hopefully be getting Fortuna later this week, we will at least be getting the Chimera update with arbitrations and the new daily login rewards, and a few other things, new melee weapons, skins at least, the glaive and the... What was the other weapon that was coming with the glaive? The staff. Yeah, so we get a few staff. More things. Yeah, this week. It looks a bit weird. Mm-hmm. We'll get a few more things this week, so I'm really looking forward to that. We finally get to see what all the PC players have been going on about with arbitrations, and we get to farm for some endo, which I'm happy about, because that's something we all need.
Oh, yes. All the endo.
So, you haven't been around much this week, Lucas, but was there anything on this week's news that you wanted to cover before we moved on to our news?
No, I think it's good to just move straight into our news. This is cool. Quite exciting for us.
Indeed. We have been threatening you all for months and months. The threat becomes real. We finally finished the website, so I can announce it tonight. It's actually been live for like a week or so. I didn't hide it behind any walls or anything like that. It's been there, but obviously no one's looking for cephalonsquared.com. But now you can look for cephalonsquared.com. We've got all our podcast notes there. So if there's anything we've mentioned on any of the episodes that you want to look up and see for yourself, you'll be able to do so. I might have trouble with the Reddit post that I mentioned today with the red text update, but I should be able to track it down. We'll see how we go. We've got all of our, we're going to have blog posts. So provided I have the time, I will be doing news posts every time something comes out. And I will be doing updates, status updates, tips, tricks. I've already put my beginner's guide to Warframe up on that page. So have a read if you like it. Make a recommendation to new players to check it out. And there will be other things coming to the website down the track. So please take a look at it. It has been a labor of love for myself for the last 2 weeks. I put a shitload of time and effort into it, as well as a bucket load of money, because it turns out making websites isn't free. Well, it can be free if you want a good website. It's not, sadly.
And it looks fantastic. Mate, you've done a wonderful job. And now there's a bit of a segue, because, you know, this particular Cephalon, Greg, decided to put a few of my social links in the About Us section. In particular, my Twitch connection. I've got to give it to you guys now. So what I've decided, that in a couple weeks, I'm going to spend a little bit of time working things out properly, but for the next week, healing, yes, that's priority number one. So I'm going to work out a few things over the next week or two, but over this week in particular, I want to see in as a setup for the first stream for both myself and Greg, as Greg will be joining me. I'm looking for ridiculously obscure bad builds, and I'm not just talking a weapon. I'm talking the whole shabam. Give me a Warframe, give me some weapons, companions, yes, no, you decide. I would like to see these either on the Facebook or the Discord, and, you know, having the rest of the community vote for the most wackiest looking build that they think they see. And both myself and Greg, when it comes to the first stream, we'll be using the exact same build to do as long as a survival as we can on Eris. So look forward to that.
Or possibly an arbitration.
Or even possibly an arbitration.
I didn't think about that, because we haven't had them on bloody console.
That is true. That is true. So yeah, possibly. Yeah. We'll do an arbitration. We'll do an arbitration with the most wackiest, obscure, bad build that gets voted either on our Discord or Facebook page. So look forward to that.
We'll do it on Discord and Facebook.
Yep.
And basically what we'll do is that the ones that get voted the crappiest builds on Discord, we'll share them onto Facebook as well, and then we'll get everyone to, and vice versa, and we'll get everyone to vote across both platforms for what the actual crappiest builds are for weapons and for Warframes. So as many as you like, share and share and share and share. Call them crappy builds or whatever you like, hashtag crappy builds. So try and do, we'll try, hopefully if we get enough people sending them to us, we'll get a primary, we'll get a secondary, and we'll get a melee weapon and a Warframe, and that way we can all be kitted up, and even a companion. Make us as bad as possible. If you want to do Mark 1 Bratton, go for it. If you want to do just a crappy build for a lens with a mega range or something like that that's just going to kill us, do whatever you like.
Make us have work. Fun with it. Make us work for a successful successful stream.
Yeah. So it will be painful for us, but we will enjoy it. And you know, hopefully a few of you will come along for the ride and watch it. We'll probably do it on, I guess, a Friday or a Saturday night Australian time, which will probably be, you know, the butt crack of the morning over in the States. So enjoy that. Butt crack of the morning.
Love it.
Classy one. Okay, so that's something to look forward to as well. Now, this is episode 15, and we did mention a couple of weeks ago that in the week of episode 15, we will be releasing our first Lorecast. We didn't anticipate that Cephalon Lucas was going to come down with allergy, whatever you'd like to call it, his defrag.
Defrag.
It is putting us a little bit behind track, but we are still aiming to get that out for the end of this week, our first Lorecast. So bear with us. Hopefully nothing goes wrong. I have to take a interstate business trip for work as well, which is also getting in the way of everything, but hopefully we'll be good for it. So Lorecast this week. Woohoo!
Ooh, yeah. We're putting a lot of work into this, guys, so, you know. We don't do this stuff willy-nilly. This is all for the love of you guys and the game. So look forward to it. It's going to be amazing. Well, hopefully.
Exactly. we have lives outside of Cephalon Squared, and unfortunately for me at least, all of it together becomes like two or three bloody full-time jobs. But we do it for the love, and there's nothing wrong with it. But just sometimes it gets on top of us. But we're all right. We're doing good. Okay, we'll move into our discussion this week. This week's discussion, we've chosen to keep it nice and light and easy because, you know, Lucas hasn't been around for us to actually have a proper chat beforehand, which we usually do.
Yeah.
So I decided this week we'd just have a look at what players probably need to do, if anything, to prepare for Fortuna. So if Fortuna is coming to PC this week, what do people need to do? In reality, probably nothing, because as per Cetus, it is designed for anyone to just be able to walk in, do a quick bounty and walk the hell out. But it really depends on what players will want. You know, will players want to actually be in there and grind their asses off, or what are they going to want to do? So what do you think, Lucas? What do you think you are going to do to prepare for Fortuna, if anything?
My preparations. That's a really good question. I guess probably just make sure I have enough materials, and currencies, so I can get straight into the nitty gritty buildings of customizables, like the mower and the kit guns.
Well, I threw you into it a little bit there because I took notes. I should have probably just gone through my notes and allowed you some time to think, but, you know, I'm a bastard like that.
You are. Whatever.
I mean, the resources is a hard thing, because if you look at Cetus, the resources that you need to build some of the better Zors require some of the more hard-to-get gems, which means you need to be at least Sura, which is rank 3, I think, in reputation.
This is true, but at the same time, D has said that they're going to try and minimalize that as much as possible this time around.
They did.
So,
they did say that.
So, yeah. Looking at I think it was one of the caches in the Discord that they just released. There was a few items there. I think it was like Orican cells and a Nitane extract. I'm thinking they're going to be especially Nitane extract, I'm thinking are going to be quite an important resource in this landscape.
They gave away 3, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe just farm around for some Nitanes just to be safe.
If you could farm for them.
You can. It is a bit of a pain in the ass, but it is possible to farm for them. They are in the, is it Lua? Lua or the Void? One of the two. I'll have to look into it at a later time. One of the two. There's a sabotage mission you can find caches in that have a 1% drop rate of Nitane extract. Painly asked to farm.
Super lucky.
Painly asked to farm, but it is possible.
But it is farmable.
Yeah, it is farmable. In all honesty, you're probably just better off waiting for the four every 24 hour alerts.
Hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So, resources is one thing. There are a few notes that I took here, and it does depend on whether you're a new player or an old player. Let's talk about old players at first, because that's what we are, and that's the perspective we're coming from. You'll probably need former and catalysts and reactors. The reason I say that is because there's going to be a shitload of weapons. There's going to be the mower companions. There's going to be kit guns, and there's going to be Garuda. So Garuda, I'm anticipating, is going to be awesome, so I want to have a reactor for her. There's bound to be some really good weapons that come along with the update, and even if there's no just straight weapons that come along, like Garuda's crossbow or whatever the case may be, the kick guns are going to be... I mean, Zors are kick-ass. Zors, you know, you told me for a long time, Lucas, and I just didn't care. But it turns out Zors are amazing. And you're going to need catalysts for those. And hopefully they're not as freaking intensive to mastery rank as they are, where you have to rank them to 30 before you can guild them, and then you can rank them for your mastery. Because that was a pain in the ass, DE. Just telling you have to bloody level them twice, basically, just for one mastery, and then you can finally form of them. Not complaining, just complaining. So former's probably going to be necessary for those guys, and then we don't even know about the mowers. So if mowers are like any other companions, they're going to need to be formed 100,000 billion times before you can actually make them worthwhile. So we don't know yet, but that's what I'm thinking. If you're an older player, you probably want to go to do all that, and because reputation grind is a bitch, you're probably going to want to increase your mastery level as well. So keep in mind that daily reputation limits are based on your mastery rank times 1,000 plus 1,000. So if you're mastery 10, then you get 10,000 per day plus 1,000. So you get 11,000 per day total reputation that you can grind per day.
Yeah.
That's why you want to add as much as you can.
Yes, so mastery is very important. If you wanna smash through as quick as possible, mastery is going to be very important. Keep that in mind. I personally think mowers are going to be very similar to the way kick guns and zors work. So I'm thinking you're gonna have to probably guild them as well. Mm-hmm. It might not be called gilding, don't know, but I think it's gonna have a very similar layout.
Yeah. So it sounds. If it is, that grind is going to be painful, and maybe that's part of the grind that Dee was referring to when they mentioned they were going to make it a bit easier. I hope it is. So I hope they just remove that whole need to guild things completely. I mean, gilding was good because it actually made it more powerful, but it was just a massive waste of a grind. Even if they just made that first grind up to 10 or something, or you just had to power it up to a certain level, it wasn't actually standard mastery ranks. I don't know. So something that they could do differently would be good. So again, that's for old players. And like Lucas said, it's really just if you want to grind your ass through it. If you don't, you can take your time. There's probably so much content there that, I mean, shit, Planes of Eidolon came out a year ago and I still haven't finished everything. I'm still not even fully max reputation with the Quills or the Ostron.
No,
I only recently started doing it a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I only recently got max rank with the Ostrons, and I'm still not max rank with the Quills yet. I've still got, I think, around about 50 Eidolons to kill before then.
That's part of the grind. That's just ridiculous.
Part of the grind.
Yeah. So there are things that are just dumb, but that's life.
Yeah.
New players.
All still, though. All the same. Yeah,
exactly. New players. What are new players going to need to do? Probably nothing.
No.
I would recommend that new players do the Arcwing quest just so that they can fly around before they get their K drive, because we don't know how soon they'll get that.
Sick kick-ass K drive.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. but again, it's probably not that necessary. If you look at Cetus, you get to Cetus after, I mean, I think you finish Vor's Prize and then you do two or three missions and suddenly you're at Cetus. I think that was a bit overwhelming and still is a bit overwhelming for a lot of players. Mm. And it's probably going to be a little bit the same when you get to Venus and suddenly you're in Fortuna. So I'm hoping the game doesn't force you into Fortuna. And it's just sort of off the beaten track, so you can go there if you want to. That would be a better option than putting it right in the path of your grind through there. So if it is right in the path of your grind, the other possible thing that you could maybe think of doing before Fortuna comes out is grind through and open up Mercury. So do that junction, the Venus-Mercury junction first, and then you don't have to worry about grinding through Fortuna at a really low rank or being confused by Fortuna. Anything else you think of, Lucas?
I'm just honestly thinking smash through as much of the game as possible, right? Experience the game as it is now as best as you can before everything gets flipped on its head, because it's going to get flipped on its head.
It will be, in a good way.
in a great way. But yeah, enjoy the game as is now, because once Fortuna hits, it's not going to be the same game. It'll be completely different, completely refreshed. new transport, new weapons, new enemies. Everything is just going to be new and shiny, and there's going to be so much to do. So enjoy the game as it is now, because there is a lot to come, and it will it will be overwhelming.
Exactly. So that's one thing that I forgot to mention. I don't know how I got onto this, but when we were talking about launching the new website, one of the things that I did post during the week was a preview of Fortuna. I wasn't able to really mention anything prior to it, so I didn't mention anything last week, but I was invited to take part in a Fortuna preview that was put on by Rebecca and the team online. And so I sat through a demonstration. I got to ask a whole bunch of questions. So my preview is on cephalonsquared.com. It's one of the first articles there on the front page. I think I called it Fortuna Preview, even, just to keep it nice and simple for you. And there's a lot of new information in there. So, for example, the orbs, the big orbs, will be there on Venus when you get there. They'll be part of the environment, but they won't actually be active at first for at least the first 2 weeks. They're just going to be there inactive, and then eventually they'll start engaging with players. So that's
quite interesting. Dormant orb mothers. Ooh.
Yeah, so I did forget to mention that. So check it out. Have a read. Let me know your thoughts. It was really cool to be able to take part in that, and I thank DE for extending that to us. All right, let's move on from our discussion. We'll go into our beginner topic and our advanced topic before calling it quits for this week. Actually, I will mention one thing. We had planned to do a community call out this week with Lord Frizon from the Discord, who has been waiting really patiently to do an interview with us, but unfortunately we were sort of thrown under the bus at the last second by a couple of things. So apologies to Lord Frizon, and we will be doing that interview in the future at some point. So that will probably come up either next week or the week after, depending on when the next dev stream is. But of course, you know, we do need more people to reach out to us if they want to do the community dev stream for future, community guest star for future episodes. So hit us up. Let us know you're interested. Okay. Beginner topic. I'm going to do the final part of the main quest lore before we start our lore cast this week. And that final part is the Arkwing. So the Arkwing mission. Now, this is a really, really short quest, to be honest. It's embarrassingly short, and realistically, all it is it's an additional training quest, so it teaches you how to use the Arkwing, is really all it is for. So it's kind of an extension, I guess, of Vor's Prize, in that it's just a new little mission that was thrown in at the start of the game to teach you how to use the Arkwing. It does teach you a couple of other things as well. So in actually acquiring the Arkwing, you need to do a couple of missions that you probably hadn't done before. So there's a little bit of exposure to those as well. So the Arkwing quest itself is awarded when players complete the Earth to Mars junction. So there's nothing much you need to do for it. You just need to unlock Mars, and you'll be given the quest, and you can start it off straight away. I do recommend doing it straight away, because you may as well. Having your Arkwing is pretty important. There's actually missions on Earth, you know, from the very first planet, that are Arkwing missions. So you may as well unlock it straight away. And it is pretty fun in those initial few times that you use the Arkwing, until it becomes painful. Anyway, I got distracted. This is a lore discussion. So, at first, the Lotus will reach out to the player to advise that there is a working prototype for an Arkwing. Now, there's a reason behind this. The Grineer, and particularly Council of Ahek, is sending a Baylor Fomorian fleet. So the Baylor Fomorian is essentially a really big type of Grineer warship, and he's sending these to destroy all of the Tenno... not junctions. What are they called? Relays. So he's sending them to attack, and we need to be ready to battle them, but because they are, of course, out in space, we can't battle them with our ships, because we don't have a ship until we have Railjack, wink, wink. So the Lotus says, hey, there's this prototype Arcwing, and you need to go get the blueprints for it. Here's the blueprint for the main Arcwing, but you need to go and get the rest of the parts. So just so has it that the Arcwing parts are spread throughout the system, and you need to go track down the parts and resources. Off you go, Tenno. So the first thing you do is you need to find the Orican Archive, which is going to tell you where the rest of the pieces are. So what you're doing there is your first Orican sabotage mission. So if you know sabotage missions, basically you run in, you destroy something, and you run out. This is an Orican sabotage mission, so it's a little bit different, and you need to basically run in, go into the void, steal something, and escape the void, or escape through a void portal. So you're stealing something from the Orican, essentially. So on completion of that mission, you find the coordinates to the Orican Archive. Yay! So now you can go off and find your parts. And this is played out in the form of an excavation mission. So once you've done the Orican sabotage mission to find the Archive, you then go to Venus and you do an excavation mission. And each time you excavate, you will uncover the three remaining blueprints. So Ordisk then tells you, basically, to build them. And there's a reason you need to build them, and that's because in your next quest, you're going to need to use your Arcwing. you don't know that at the time. So basically, the Lotus intercepts a nearby corpus ship, and she says, hey, why don't you go out to the corpus ship and find out what they know about the oncoming Grineer threat, the Baylor Fomorian fleet. So you infiltrate their ship, you run around killing as many of the corpus as you can, but while you're doing so, Councillor Vahek attacks the ship with his Grineer forces. He is actually upset with the leader of the corpus ship, Frod Beck, and that's the reason he attacks them. There was a little bit of a disagreement between the two, so it just so happens that you chose the wrong corpus ship to infiltrate. Now, Vahek does a crap load of damage to the ship, and as a result of this, you aren't able to evacuate in the proper way, and you just basically need to get the hell out of the ship as fast as possible. So lucky you built that Arcwing. So when you jump out of the ship, Ordis attaches the new Arcwing and the weaponry, and you then need to learn how to use it. And in the process of learning how to use it, you escape everyone, you cheer, and you have finished the quest. And that's it. It's really, really simple. It's very straightforward, but it does teach you about a little bit about Vahek. So I think it's the first time you encounter the name Vahek. Won't be the last time, though, sadly. and it is the first time you encounter the Baylor Fomorians. And it's really interesting because if you don't pay attention, you probably don't really hear anything about the Fomorians or the Baylor Fomorians or anything else for a long, long time until the Fomorians attack again the relay as part of the, you know, semi-regular event that occurs in Warframe. So for a long time I didn't even know what a Fomorian was, and, you know, probably when I was researching for a couple of other things that we're doing for the lore cast, that was when I really understood what a Fomorian was, a big ass battleship. Actually, no, I learned a little bit more about it when I was reading about the War Within. Anyway, that is the Arcwing quest. Anything you wanted to add, Lucas?
Not really. I mean, a little bit of an extra thing would be that if you're ever doing a hijack on a Grineer-based level, what you're actually stealing from the Grineer at those points is a Fomorian engine. So,
yes.
Apparently incredibly powerful, and if they explode on the spot, then they will take out a lot of things with them. So always good to make sure they don't blow up.
Yes, well, explosions are nasty.
Oh yeah, they're alrighty, nice, so especially let's... when you don't die.
Yeah, well, that's very true, if you're not the dead one. All right, so that is the lore for probably for the rest of our future episodes. We might do little bits and pieces here and there, but we will be sticking to major lore topics on our lore casts from now on because we don't want to give spoilers. If you don't want spoilers, do not listen to our lore cast. We will put that as a big disclaimer at the start of the lore cast, but we will basically be no holds barred on those discussions. We'll just talk about everything and anything and everything and expect that anyone who's listening is at the same point in the game as we are. So essentially, if you're not finished at least up to the end of the sacrifice, there may be something that's spoiled for you. So just throwing that out there. Don't listen if you don't want spoilers, and it is better to experience them in the game. All right, Lucas, this week you have a new advanced topic. What have you got for us?
All right, so first off, I just want to say a massive thank you to you, Greg, for helping acquire this information and put it all together for me, as Defrag has kind of taken me away from that. So thank you.
No workers.
So this week,
not a problem.
I'm going into going back into the whole rare mods kind of vibe, and this week I'm looking at August Secrets. So for those that are unaware, August Secrets is quite a rare mod that was introduced with Planes of Eidolon. It does increase ability strength by a nice 24%, and as a set bonus by itself, it does a 40% energy spent on abilities conversion to shields, so it's quite nice. But when you equip it simultaneously with the entire Augur set, you end up getting a 240% conversion to your shields on ability usage. Stack it with Brief Respite, and you get a whopping 390% conversion. Very nice for regaining shield, and the fact that you get that little bit extra ability strength, always nice. So it does stack with Intensify, Blind Rage, Transient Fortitude, Power Drift, Energy Conversion, and Growing Power for a total of plus 298% ability strength. So look out, you're going to be hitting hard and you're going to be doing a lot of damage. But when you have four Growing Power auras activated, you end up having 373% ability strength. Just a tad overpowered in my opinion, but hey, whatever floats your boat. You need that damage, you put that damage on. Unfortunately, because the effect of this particular mod or mod set is shield based, the only effect it has on Inaris and Nidus is the increase in ability strength. So no shield can be built onto those guys whatsoever. Not even by special effects like this. So keep that in mind if you're trying to be clever and go, ooh, maybe I can give Inaris or Nidus some shield. Sorry, not possible. Now, acquisition. It's from bounties in Cetus, or the Plains of Eidolon. That's range between the level 30 and 50 mark. And it has a 0.5% drop rate on the Recon Commander, which is a Plains of Eidolon assassination bounty incursion kind of thing. Pricing for this mod is actually a lot better than I expected. I have in the past seen pricing quite high for it over the three different platforms. So thankfully it's not that bad. PC, it's looking at an average between 80 and 120 platinum. Xbox One, 70 to 100 platinum. And PS4, always PS4 being the cheapest, I don't know why. But it's sitting at a nice 40 to 100 platinum. So it's a decent average there. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot I could really do this week, so that's all I really got. Is there anything you wanted to add to this, Greg?
No, not really, but it is a good point about the pricing. the pricing was as of this morning, Australian time, so it is recent, but if you're listening to this in 6 months' time, the pricing's probably going to be different. I did find it really interesting that the PS4 range was different. In fact, it was actually 35. I rounded it up to 40. So the range that I saw, and there were quite a few 35s that it was selling for, don't know why. Maybe PS4 players are, I don't want to say thriftier, but maybe they're less likely to want to pay more. Who knows? Mm. Or maybe, I just don't know. It was really strange because Xbox One and PC are really close in terms of the price range. But PS4 was all over the place, and the majority of pricing was low. There was just one outlier that was 100, so it was kind of weird.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you, Lucas, and no problem. I am here to help. You know, the podcast, the show must go on, so they say. So, let's go on. This week's community call-out goes out again to YourMaster145 on the Discord. Now, this week's mini was myself and Cephalon Lars, as you know, and Cephalon Lars wanted some help, so basically I did all of the research for that episode, but I left a whole bunch of stuff out. So YourMaster pointed out that one of the big things we missed when we were going over the really important mods that you would want for rifles especially is hunter munitions. And that is a big one for us to miss. So that is a mod that increases your slash damage. Actually, I think
it's not so much slash damage. What it does, it is on critical hits, it gives a 30% chance to do the slash proc. So slash very proc, yeah. Very handy, especially on a. On a rifle that has massive slash damage, I think like the Sidorus, for example, cough, cough, wink, wink, yeah. Nudge, nudge. So high crit, on a high crit weapon, hunter munitions will nearly guarantee do a slash proc, and that's always a good thing to just get that little bit extra damage out.
Especially when it's a tick as well.
Yes, yes.
So thank you to your master, but the reality is when I listened to the podcast the next day, I noticed we left out a whole bunch of things. One of the most important things I left out was my wonderful and delicious Tiburon Prime. It is a really, really fantastic weapon. It has all three fire modes, so you can switch between auto, semi, and burst fire, and each has its own freaking pros and cons. It's just a fabulous weapon, and I should have mentioned it. It is one of my favorites. But
it is also one of my favorites.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the reasons I got it, because you mentioned it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, though, I also didn't mention the fact that rifles come in different flavors, auto, semi, and burst fire flavors, and what that means, etc., etc. So apologies for all of that. It was a little bit of... I mean, it doesn't change things greatly. Really, all it means is if you've got an auto rifle, you hold down the button and it fires a stream of bullets. If you've got a semi, you're going to press the button every time you want to fire a shot, and burst fire is going to shoot bursts of bullets. So it all makes perfect sense. It just depends on what type of weapon it is, as to what kind of mods you want to put on it. So for an auto rifle, you might want to increase the fire rate so that you've just got a longer, faster stream of bullets coming out. For a semi, you might want to make sure you have better accuracy or something like that. So it's really straightforward stuff, but we shouldn't have left it out. Yeah. My apologies.
I personally like semi-automatics, just for that whole marksman-like feel. I mean, you got the Tiburon is a great one, like the Tiburon Prime in particular. But another good one that I have a lot of fun with because of that semi-burst, that semi-fire mode, is the Grinlock.
Mm. Surprisingly good weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I say surprisingly because it's a Grineer weapon, and many Grineer weapons are not great. I'm sure I'm going to cop some flack for saying that. There are some good ones. I'm thinking of the Gorgon. But anyway. cool. So anything else you want to mention before we call it a day for this podcast?
Well, one more thing just in the community call-out. I just want to thank the community so much, especially in our Discord group. It's been incredibly boring getting my defrag and just seeing all the little things that's been thrown out onto the Discord, the builds, the fashion frame, everything has been an absolute delight. So thank you so much, guys. It's made my week and my painful defrag week just that little bit more enjoyable. So thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. You have, they came to the rescue, those wonderful guys and gals. And I suppose we probably should be more active on our Facebook group as well. Get some of those good people involved. But yeah, it's hard juggling, I suppose. But anyway, moving on to the very end of the podcast. Thank you for listening as always. Hopefully we will all be, well, hopefully those of us with PC accounts will be playing Fortuna towards the end of this week, and I definitely will be. I may even crank up my Twitch account just to walk people through it. So Lucas, if you like, you can join me in my Twitch and vicariously play along with me.
Yeah, no, tell me where to go and what to do. I'll be definitely doing that.
Yeah, so I mean, what have I got? I've got a crappy low level mag on PC. I think I'm only mastery rank 3, and I've only just unlocked series. So we're getting there on PC, slowly, slowly. I'm also hoping that we finally friggin' find out what the hell's going on with Nintendo Switch and accounts, so hopefully that comes along soon. It's really, really soon. It is really, really soon that it's coming out on the Switch, and, you know, we need more information about it because we need to get ready, good people. All right, so that was the end of episode 15. A little bit of a short one, but that is all well and good. I'm going to change the way I close out the episodes from now on, because I don't need to go all over everything that you can use to contact us now that we've got the website, because all of our contact details are on the website now, and it's made it a whole lot easier, so I don't need to go over the YouTube and all that jazz. So go to the website, cephalonsquared.com, all one word, cephalonsquared.com. Check it out. Follow us in all of the different places. Of course, we still have our Facebook group. We still have our Twitter. We still have Discord. Discord's probably a little bit easier to access now that we've got the website, because you can just go straight there and you'll find the Discord invite there. So you can click and you can be part of our Discord. And of course, give us a rating on your podcast platform to spread the word and let other people know that we exist. I'm sure that very soon there will be a whole bunch of people wanting to find a Warframe podcast. So if you think we're doing a good job, spread the word for us. My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules pretty much everywhere. Lucas, who are you?
Well, I am Lucas, the one and only. temporarily being defragged, but, you know, Silverlight everywhere, and yeah, especially with the coming up of the Twitch. I'm a bit nervous about that now, actually. But thanks, Greg.
You'll be fine, son. No worries. I could have removed it from the website, I told you, and you said, no, leave it.
It's too late. It's too late. It's on the internet. It's there forever now.
Exactly. Thanks, as always, to Yarn_Disco_Box on Twitter for the intro and outro. And thanks to you for listening. We will be back, hopefully, later this week with our first Lorecast, and we do look forward to it. We also look forward to Arbitrations and hopefully to Fortuna as well. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to cephalonsquared@gmail.com. or get in touch via Twitter or Facebook. You can also join our Discord or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. See you next week!